there might not be enough local music.
I disagree completely.
Do you?
I completely disagree. Welcome back to the First Cry Podcast. I am Garrett Van Buren. Thanks for listening to First Crack number 103, lunch with a whole bunch of people. Tony Thomas from Minneapolis Cast, Andrea Myers from HowIsTheShow.com, Justin Grahams from LocalTone.com, and Brian McDonald from MiniIndie.com. This comes in two parts. The second part is with Brian McDonald from MiniIndie, and the first part is with everybody else. Theme music, of course, Jeremy Pilder. So, how's my driving? firstcrack@gmail.com, firstcrackpodcast.com for comments. Also, pop over to firstcrackpodcast.com. I've got some theme shows that I'm putting together. Take a look at the list. Send me an MP3. Point me to a URL of an MP3. I want your stories. Let's get started.
I'm Tony Thomas, the producer of the Minneapolis Cast podcast. And it's a local music podcast where I invite people to come in and perform, and we do a short interview usually. And also now the HowIsTheShow.com staff have been doing CD reviews for the podcast as well.
How do you decide, how do you pick who you invite?
It's usually whoever gets to me first, kind of. I mean, I do have kind of a wish list. But more or less, I contact people via MySpace, which has been invaluable for both marketing the podcast and for contacting bands. Or people contact me, and we just work out a date, and I have them come on in.
And then and after you hit record, you're like, wow, that guy was really awful.
No comment.
I'm Justin Grahams. Own my own business called Atomic Objects. I'm here working on local music, though. That's kind of my passion. Wasn't a band for a number of years, and I'm looking to develop a site to allow local artists to promote their music through internet streaming radio.
I'm Andrea Myers. I'm the editor of HowIsTheShow.com, and it's a website that compiles live reviews of both national and local shows that are here in the Twin Cities.
How do you decide which shows get on HowIsTheShow?
Well, actually, I don't play a lot of in the role of decision-making. We kind of let the writers do what they want, and I think that makes a more well-rounded base of reviews. We have people that are really into jazz, and people that are really into, you know, hip-hop, and then the indie rock people can all come together and have reviews, so we have a big variety.
What's your role as editor if you have these people who are writing reviews, going to shows, and frequently or infrequently?
Well, my main job is just to kind of corral everyone and make sure that no one's stepping on anyone's toes and that no one's covering a show twice, and then just to proofread and edit all the reviews before they go up to make sure that we have a decent quality of writing, too.
So you're not going to have two people go to the show, one write a bad review, one write a great review?
We've done that before, but that's not our goal, no.
It's kind of fun.
The Minneapolis Cast, what role you think it fills in the local music scene?
This actually, a friend of mine gave me this idea, but I actually would really like it to be the Peel Sessions of Minneapolis, sort of documenting the Minneapolis music scene and this kind of thing where, like right now, most of the time I have to contact people and people are pretty receptive to it, but I actually would like, you know, bands to be sort of contacting me or contacting other people I can get involved and have it be this thing like, oh, you played a band? Have you been on Minneapolis Cast yet? Oh, you got to get a hold of Tony, you know, whatever. And so that people are excited about it, and so that the site becomes this resource, this sort of picture of what's happening in the Twin Cities. The challenge I have with that is that I do most of the podcast myself. I did manage to rope in this other guy, Dave Kemp, who has started to do some interviews and podcasts, and now the HowIsTheShow.com staff. But I'm a little restricted to the people that I know, the network of musicians that I know and have contact with, and it's becoming a little bit of a singer-songwriter podcast right now, and I really would like to get some hip-hop artists in, some jazz artists in. Actually, Andrew, you wrote an article about like bass players and drummers, and I actually thought that would be kind of a fun podcast, or get like Conrad from First Avenue to come in, or, you know, some like a sound guy or something like that. Anything related to the music scene I'd kind of like to cover, I guess. It's not quite there yet.
Our main role is that we archive what's happening in the Twin Cities for 5 years. You can look back and several of the bands that have come through town more than once will have reviews from each time that they've been here. So it's kind of a way to look back on the history of what's been happening and who's been playing. And then I think the second and probably more important role is that it's a really good way for people to learn about live local music that they'd want to go see. A lot of times if you look at the city pages or just an events calendar, it's really hard to distinguish what might interest you and what bands are actually going to be good live and what the experience is going to be like. And to have a resource where people are, being honest with their opinions about what it was actually like to be there, I think that's important for the music fans. Started to do interviews now where we try to have something that will go up like a week before the show, and it's someone that we've seen before and that we enjoy, and then sit them down, ask them a couple questions, and then highlight an upcoming show. But we do spend a lot of our time looking in the past.
Justin, this project filling in the local music scene?
I see it filling actually a lot of the same things that you guys are talking about. I mean, the whole point of this is to get exposure to local artists. Me being a former, I guess I would say I still am a musician, I'm just not practicing musician, but having played the drums for over 10 years, I know what it's like to be in the shoes of kind of the small guy, and there aren't a whole lot of outlets to be able to get yourself exposure when you turn on the radio station and you kind of flip around and all you're hearing is Britney Spears and, Green Day, for example. So, there's a lot of money that's backing larger acts that end up getting quote-unquote signed, and I'm looking to help out the small guy who's got music that's, in my mind, is good, if not better, than a lot of these acts that get signed. That's the ultimate goal here, is to basically help musicians grow, connect with each other, connect with their fan base, just basically get more and more exposure to them. Me, just stepping back, and I know when I was a musician and when I was playing, that the ultimate goal was to, A, have fun. That's the whole reason that I started playing music, was because I enjoyed it. So I guess it's not about actually making money. And the site I'm developing here is not about making money either.
I have a question, actually, for the other two at the table. I think it's something, Garrick, that you touched on when we were setting this whole thing up. But I think quality control is something we all want to do, but yet we're in this relatively small, very tight-knit sort of community of artists and stuff. And I guess my first thought I had, and it's something I struggle with too, is what happens when you get contacted with somebody and you go to MySpace and, there's stuff just doesn't really resonate with you. And Andrew, maybe you could talk about that. You probably get it more often from writers, I suppose. Maybe you think the writing's not good or...
Well, we have a kind of unspoken policy at How's the Show that if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it. Especially when you're talking about local music and these are people who aren't getting paid and they're doing it, out of passion. There's really no reason for people to go around, bad-mouthing them. I don't think anyone gains anything from a bad local review. Unless it's, an established act that's, released their fifth CD and it's just awful. Yeah, so we kind of have this policy. If you go to the show and it just didn't click with you and it's just not working, you just don't say anything. And I don't know if that's the best policy, but it helps us with what we're trying to do to build the community. And I don't think we necessarily consider ourselves to be, straight out journalists. We're more music appreciators.
Justin, you can talk about this too. I don't mean to take over your interview here, Garrick. But I think in part we're all kind of talking about giving access to these artists where they maybe have not had access in the past. Or, I remember the first time my last band got reviewed on howwastheshow.com. It was like, oh, hey, look, there we are. There's pictures and everything. So, Justin, how do you feel about that same issue, both quality control and opening up access?
I view more along the lines of just open up access. Let the community, I guess, police itself. If people say bad things, I guess, if I was running the site, if people say bad things, people say bad things. I understand where you're coming from. Definitely don't want to hurt people's feelings or turn them away from the site. For what I'm developing, it's actually going to be, I guess I would consider it more or less along the lines of dig. So basically dig for local musicians. It's kind of the voting process, or what I would call the dig process, is just going to end up kind of dropping that stuff out, hopefully. I'm going to, this is kind of my pie in the sky vision, is that the community will police itself and I won't have to actually go in there and become dictator and shut things down. If it becomes a case where AI gets sued because it's copyrighted material, definitely it's coming down. And then B, then you start talking about, okay, what if it's a religious rant or something like that? You know, what if it's somebody's opinion about the Ku Klux Klan or whatever you want to talk about? Do you start stepping on toes in that case? And that's something that's going to be difficult once to cross that bridge once I come to it.
There is this notion of an editor that I can trust that has a quantity that I can find. Right. So this is me as a listener.
So it's a little too esoteric. It's kind of what you're saying, like specific to their tastes, kind of.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely fine. I just don't think we have enough editors. We either need, for my perspective, I either want direct access to this giant funnel of local music, or 5 million editors to choose from, right?
Yeah, and it sounds like then. Justin, your project probably is the closest thing to that, where it's just the gates are wide open and it's up to somebody like Garrick to just come in and be like, this rocks, this is terrible, you know, whatever. And I guess in some respects I am the editor, although I don't feel like I do a ton of editing. It's fairly open. I do want people to come to the site knowing if they go here, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be recorded well and it's going to be good artists. And I guess I would be one of the many editors you would be looking for. There should be maybe 20 or 30 more people doing what I do, kind of. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. And I'm wondering if at the Minneapolis cast, if you can, at this point, in as young as it is, say, this is the type of artist. These are my biases. Oh. These are Tony's biases.
Yeah, you know, I probably should do that, because I definitely do have some biases, and I also have a fairly narrow range where I feel like I have some credibility. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily feel yet, although maybe I'm just being a little timid, that I could credibly walk in to, you know, the Rhymesayers and say, hey guys, come in for, you know, it's not my scene, I don't hang on there. I love a lot of the Rhymesayers people, but, you know, what I would love to do is kind of what you're saying, is find somebody who's got some connections there to come in, want to be part of what I'm doing, and that person would sort of cover that genre. Mm-hmm. Whatever.
Minneapolis cast / hip-hop.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Yep. Exactly.
Gotcha. Andre, do you have a comment on this?
I want to go with Tony and the Rhymesayers. I think there is a kind of a divide between the genres in the local scene, and it doesn't really overlap at all, so it does make it hard to get, you know, broad coverage, but that was a different point.
Are there biases in what you see, or preferences, that are coming out of 5 years of howistheshow.com?
Yeah, I think we do kind of focus to a fault on the, like, indie rock, pop rock, Britpop style of music. And I'm not sure why that is. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the most widely appealing to people.
Not a lot of experimental jazz at How Was the Show?
Actually, we do have one very avid jazz concert attender, and he does a very good job of covering that niche. But I don't know how many people read those,
right,
you know, as opposed to the Beatifics reviews that go up, you know.
Is How Is the Show still a project of love and passion, or are you getting at least beer money out of it?
No beer money yet. I do get the venues around town have been very kind to us, so we do get quite a few free passes and comp tickets into shows, which is enough to, you know, motivate us to keep going, because that's really all we care about.
Right.
Is going to the shows, so it allows us to go to more. Yeah, we're just mostly a group of people that are really excited about local music. So far, no financial rewards, but we're hoping to get there soon. Great. We just started developing that aspect of the site probably in the last 6 months. So.
And what does that aspect?
Advertising.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I just wanted you to say it out loud. That's all.
Yeah, but we're very picky about who we allow to advertise. We want to keep it local and keep it music related. So no ticket scalpers, no, you know, huge conglomerates.
No, like you two won't be having a banner ad on How Is the Show, for example.
Well, we might allow that if they find us.
Okay, I think same question to Justin. So if I tuned into your stream, mm-hmm, what would be some of the reasons I would want to listen to your stream versus somebody else's?
I just wanted to do a brief comment on what Andrea said. I guess it just kind of struck me in so much as that if I went to their site and I didn't know anything about interpretive jazz, for example, mm-hmm, how would I learn more about what interpretive jazz bands are out there in Minneapolis, mm-hmm, local? And yes, I could read about them and read reviews, but wouldn't it be kind of cool to basically tune into a radio station that had a stream that was just interpretive jazz, for example, and that was just interpretive jazz of even better local bands from Minneapolis, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's where I kind of see these two projects overlapping big time, in so much as that kind of my thing is, for the average Joe that's out there that maybe likes a genre, but doesn't know which clubs to go to, your guys' site would be awesome. You know, he could definitely say, okay, I've seen reviews about this. Oh, there's interpretive jazz playing down at the corner on 4th and 3rd. Great. I'll go and watch it. But now what's that going to sound like? Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the interpretive jazz bands that are out there? And they could tune into my stream and actually be able to actually hear some of the bands that are out there, and then hopefully be able to then vote on which ones they think are good and be able to see other people's votes. Mm-hmm. So they would hopefully be getting kind of the creme de la creme, I guess, of the interpretive jazz artists that are local to Minneapolis. Okay.
So every spring, South by Southwest dumps this giant, 800, right, mm-hmm. track BitTorrent out to the world to promote their concert and festival and such. And I'm a big fan of that. I look forward to that every year, primarily because it's one of the few ways I can get really indie Minneapolis musicians, right? Andre is looking at me like, whatever, they are not indie. And it takes me like a month to go through, but at the end of it, I've got 80 good songs that sure. I really, really like. Now, that's the sort of thing that I would like to see on a, I would like it to be, rather than 5% local, it have to be 95% local. That's the vision I'm looking at. And so.
Well, I guess just... some thoughts that I've had on that are there might not be enough local music.
I disagree completely.
Do you?
I completely disagree.
To actually fill a 24-hour block, or do you keep repeating?
Okay. No, I think that what I think the common thread is that through all of us is there are genres and there are scenes that we don't have access to, that we can't get into. Rhyme Sayers. let's say that there's not just one, but there's a handful. You know, each one of those has at least 24 hours worth of music, right? So you've got at least a week's worth, right, of music.
No, I think you have a different issue, though.
Okay.
I think when you get to the level of, say, a Rhyme Sayers, type label, even in Minneapolis, there's still this kind of old school radio thing where it's like, well, why should we just hand over our CD tracks for your online radio station? Yeah. They are very much geared toward the sort of old channels in publishing and radio, I think. And that's fine. They're trying to create income streams for their artists. Mm-hmm. And they have, but I think for somebody like me to walk in and say, hey, give me a stack of CDs and I'll stream you guys on my website. Right. They'd just look at me like I was crazy because, it's not where they're coming from.
Right.
I think it's the artists who are releasing CDs on their own, who don't have those resources, mm-hmm. that are more willing to just hand that over because they're looking for any angle they can get to kind of get their stuff out there.
Do you think there's more than 24 of those in the cities?
Oh, definitely. Okay. There definitely are. But they're all over the map, though. I mean, just mm-hmm. because some people are really into putting the stuff out there for free, and even somebody who's releasing their own CDs, sometimes they really hold on to that stuff tight. And that's, finding 24 hours worth of music from people who'll be willing to just hand over their stuff to you for free is the bar is a little higher than just finding 24 hours worth of music within a city, I think.
Okay.
I was just going to make a quick comment. I guess just to step back, I guess I would agree that there are. There's going to take some work to get all that music into there
over time.
Yeah. So initially when you launch it might not be there.
That's why we're here.
and then also there's some off the wall type genres that it might be a little more difficult, but
a little more difficult.
Well, I mean, if you're talking pop, rock, jazz, 24 hours of music, you can easily get that. But right. What about, Celtic or just some sort of weird type.
The genre label is meaningless to me.
Okay, you're just talking about just music.
I'm just talking about interesting audio.
Okay. I would agree. We could go for a year for interesting audio over time. Yeah. But I was thinking more along the lines of, I guess, streaming it to a certain audience.
I think the only, from my perspective, the only genre there is stuff that I like and stuff that I don't like. There might be stuff that I kind of like. I don't know. Andre, do you have any? How much music out there, like in terms of time, do you think? So we say Minneapolis local indie stuff. At which point will we start to hit repeat on the playlist?
I think as time goes on, that's going to just keep increasing. I mean, we already have such a vast catalog of musical history, old local releases, you know, dating back to the Replacements and Who Screwed You, and then back to the 50s. I forget. I know there's a huge movement here with a lot of 50s singers, and I don't know any of their names. So I guess it depends on if you're interested in streaming something that's up to the minute, bands that you can, you know, still see playing around town now, or if it's more of a collective Minnesota music mm-hmm. catalog, mm-hmm. which I think you could do forever.
Do reviews on how did the show start 5 years ago?
Yep, 2002.
Okay. It doesn't go back any further than that. You're not pulling for like
no,
from the like the ESPN classic fights or anything like that, right? You
know. That's a good idea. My first concert.
Okay, your first concert.
Oh, geez. I actually went to see the Moody Blues with my parents.
How was the show?
I was in fifth grade. It was loud, and a guy in front of me threw up. That's all I remember.
Justin, you want to take this question?
My first show was Howard Jones. Saw him in, I don't even know what it would have been, early 80s probably, mm-hmm. At the old Met Center, which is no longer there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like you, I don't really remember much about the show. Other than I was young and I was really short, and I think I was in fifth grade when I went, and it was the first concert that my mom actually let me go with by myself. I know I was somewhat chaperoned or somewhat, I guess I would say, shadowed by a neighbor who was kind of an older sister who kind of shadowed us, but... That was my first concert.
My first one was Rat in Rochester in 1984.
Rat.
They actually filmed the video while we were there.
That would be a great concert to go to.
Yeah, I wasn't even a big fan. I just had a friend who liked him. He was like, you want to go? And, you know, you're in ninth grade. Sure, sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
My second concert is much cooler. I actually drove up to Minneapolis to go to see the Butthole Surfers at First Avenue and Run Westy Run Open.
You got all the cool shows.
Yeah. I could write a show review about that show.
Yeah.
What it's like to be 17 and, you know, standing next to a skinhead for the first time and but the Butthole Surfers have new dancers on the stage, you know, at the all ages show. It was pretty crazy. I didn't tell my mom about that part.
Now it comes out.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Mom.
Yeah. Thanks for the conversation, everyone.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice little segue there into the conversation with Brian McDonough on miniindie.com, the site he and his friend Aaron run, where they recommend the cool shows in town, the shows you don't want to miss.
Like June or July of last year, Aaron and I started sending out Mini Indie, just mainly because we got tired of having to like filter through all the ads in the city pages.
I thank you for that. Yeah.
And just, there were only, you know, a couple venues that really do bands that, you know, aren't like cover bands. And
Are they the venues that you work for?
Yeah, most of them. Yeah. So I do get some bonus out of that, but I didn't always work at those venues. I think I got jobs at those venues because of, you know, what we were doing with the list and stuff, and
right,
helped us out that way. But, you know, I mean, there's 7th Street Entry and Triple Rock and, you know, Hexagon, Uptown, Turf Club, places like that that are always doing, you know, either local bands or cool touring bands. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you go to look for those ads and you just can't find them in the city pages because it's all like Bogart's and some place wherever in Maplewood or Blaine or, you know, places that you can't even get to anyway because traffic sucks or something. So
right. So you get a lead on the schedules for these venues and then compile them all to an email.
Most of the bookers and promoters for the venues to just email us their upcoming shows like every week. So just take that and reformat it into our website and send it out. So.
And that's all that Mini Indie is just a republication of the cool shows that are happening.
Yeah.
Nice. Somehow I got on the Mini Indie list. I'm assuming that I'm not the only person on the list.
Yeah, well, what we did is we went and emailed bands that we knew had built up,
okay,
like a mailing list, and we just asked them, like, look, we're going to mail out stuff about your shows.
That makes sense now, because the bands that
help us out, so.
I would go see would be at the venues.
Yeah.
And okay, it all makes sense now.
Yeah, so we just had some bands hand us over their mailing lists, because we were going to mail stuff out about their shows.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, we actually did, like, just start sending it to people who had never signed up, and we built it up to a couple thousand people on the list, and I think we've only had, like, 25 or 30 people ask to be taken off.
Nice.
So I don't think it's too negative of a thing, so a lot of people like it. So
and every week you guys are hand putting together this email? Or?
Yeah, we took a month off back in May, because Aaron's the web designer, and he's reformatting everything to try and make it easier for us, because it's really time consuming.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But,
yeah,
you know, like,
when I first saw it, I'm like, wow, these guys are spending a lot of time.
Yeah,
putting this together.
It used to just be like every Tuesday night we'd sit up until like 5 a.m. going through the emails and like plugging them in, and now we're trying to figure out a new way to do that.
Yeah. You got to get some sleep sometime. Yeah. There's some notion of like Brian and Aaron's recommended ones.
Yeah. I mean, every week we try to say, like, you know, there's all these shows going on, but you can really only go to one per night.
Yeah.
So, unless you're like really dedicated and going to go bar hopping and pay a bunch of covers. But, you know, we say that if you want to go out on Wednesday night, the show will be cool. So we think.
Gotcha.
You know, on weekends, we normally have like 2 to 3 shows per night, because a lot of people are more likely to go out on Saturday than on Wednesday. So,
right.
It's just kind of, you know, it is biased. It's a lot of times friends of mine that are playing, but
yeah, you're promoting, or
yeah. Well, I try to keep that separate, because, I mean, otherwise, because I do the booking at the Hexagon, it'd just be like every show picked would be a Hexagon show if I was just doing that. And I try to keep that separate, but, you know, as far as that goes, but still doesn't mean I can't help out my friends. So.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. So what do you like? Are there some musicians, some bands that, off the top of your head, you think are worth looking into? Worth following?
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of really good bands coming up. Off the top of my head, like, I really like what Vampire Hands do. I think their stuff is really cool. Mouthful of Bees, who actually won the City Pages Best New Band, like, definitely deserved it. They're definitely, like, a really good band. The Nightingales are really cool. Like, they have kind of like a Kinks Led Zeppelin thing going, and Ben's just got the perfect voice for that band. And they sound really good. So
nice.
Yeah.
So what can you tell me about the venues, the scene as a whole? You're in it in multiple different ways.
Yeah, and like it's actually really interesting what's going on right now. Like, all the venues are tying in together in a lot of ways. Like, actually about every 2 weeks, like, we have booking agent meetings. Like, we just go get coffee at Spy House or something like that, and, you know, Matt Perkins from the Nomad will show up, and Joe Holland from Big V's and Lee's Liquor Lounge comes, and Mark Holland from the Uptown, and, you know, Ryan from the Turf Club, and Shane Kramer from Triple Rock, and I, we all just go, and we're also all on the same calendar system too, so
nice.
We can see what shows are coming up, and even unconfirmed shows we can look at.
What's the system? Can you say?
Yeah, it's just Google Calendar.
Oh, and nice. Perfect.
We all use that for booking, and, you know, it's pretty great. And actually, we have a show coming up on July 7th where 7 venues are all going in together, having 7 bands at each show. 7 bands are releasing albums that night.
Wow.
So it's a huge 7 thing. We got First Avenue tied in for an 18 plus that starts at, music will start at 6:30 there and at 9:30 then at all the bars, which are Uptown, Triple Rock, Nomad, Hexagon, Memory Lanes, Big V's, and the Turf Club. music starts at 9:30 and goes until 1:30, so we have like 7 hours of live music between the first half and then all the bars too.
Crazy.
And then all the bars are no cover that night, so.
Nice.
Yeah, will be a lot of fun.
Cool. So how do you have you seen anything like the MySpaces or those sorts of things helping, hindering, doing anything for the kinds of things that you're doing?
I think they're great because every band has a MySpace with music on it. You don't have to try and like figure out what page on their website has their MP3 on it and try and link to that. Like, you know, thing about MySpace is other than the fact it takes hours to load, band puts like too many pictures and videos and stuff on it that just nobody really wants to see anyway.
Right.
Like, I prefer everybody just keep it simple and don't pimp their page at all. But.
I quite like actually the minimalism of Mini Indie.
Yeah.
That the web page, at least at this point, is identical to the email. I think is awesome.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I mean, it probably does keep people from going to our website and like actually giving us traffic, but
it's really not the point. I would suspect. Exactly. Yeah. Unless you're going to do things like, you know. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're trying to keep from, like, running too many ads and stuff on it because those, I don't know, don't want to just have stuff, like, popping up and blocking you. And
yeah.
Things like that always wreck sites anyway, especially something that's actually trying to be indie. So, you know, a lot of bands lately have been going to, like, releasing vinyl instead of releasing CDs. Like,
really?
I mean, Aaron and I have a band together and we're only putting out our songs on 7-inch and then MP3. And, you know, I just did some work with a band called The Young Dudes as far as booking them shows. And it's Dustin Miller, from the engineer from The Terrarium, but he's releasing their album only on vinyl and MP3, too. So.
Thanks.
You know, I think that's cool because I'm kind of a vinyl nerd. And getting to see, like, a bunch of local bands putting out vinyl so, you know, I can play it rather than you know, looking at the CD and just thinking cool, I'm glad you guys have a CD because everybody has one, you know.
Right, you get sent a lot of stuff.
I mean, we automatically get emails from, you know, a bunch of different venues that you know we work with and know are doing, you know, local music. And then we also allow people to submit their own events into our email, and we try to like filter through them, and pretty much anything that's out in the suburbs we kind of write off, and anything that looks like it's, you know, not really indie music, like, I don't know, if it's like a cover band playing at the Fine Line or something, we're not going to include that. So
do you then do checks like, I don't know who these guys are, and then somehow you figure out who they are, you just, I don't know who they are, get them out of here?
No, we'll go through, and like if it looks, you know, legitimate, we'll go check. I mean, it's not that hard to like click on a link and see what their music sounds like, and
thanks,
you know, what type of thing they're going for. If it looks like it fits in with what we're trying to promote, then we'll just throw it on, you know.
Right. Are there venues that you're tracking? So you have this tight group of venues that you know has good stuff. Are there ones that you're like, oh, maybe those guys? Or
like, you know, places like the 400 Bar sometimes have some cool stuff, but they don't really deal with, you know, I mean, they do, but their relationship with local bands isn't on the same level as like somebody like the Turf Club or Triple Rock or something like that. They have a lot of like national shows. They're cool and we like those bands, but you know, when really the bands that people are, you know, focusing on and we're focusing on are like Minneapolis, St. Paul local ones. So.
Right. Within the tight metro area, nothing out there in the suburbs.
You know, if a band lives in the suburbs, it's fine, but if they're, you know, it depends on where they're playing.